This is Rob Knapp. I'm the president of Supernova Consulting Group, and today I have with me Bill Cates. And Bill is the author of the book, Getting More Referrals Now. Bill has been instrumental in revolutionizing the business of referrals. I've studied a lot of referral programs, and I've concluded that Bill's program is the most comprehensive program that there is in helping financial advisors get comfortable with asking for introductions and referrals to their best clients. Today, what I'm going to do is ask Bill to do a little role-playing with us. We're going to cover three aspects of proactive referrals: asking for referrals, dealing with referral objections, and then turning referrals into introductions. But before we get into the sample questions, I have a few questions for Bill that will set the stage for these role plays. Bill, some people say that you can't ask for referrals anymore, especially with high net worth, wealthy clients. Is that true?
It's absolutely not true. Now, I do believe you can't ask the way people were taught 20 years ago or 30 years ago, where they were taught methodologies such as, let me tell you how I get paid in two ways, where they make referrals an obligation of the relationship. Certainly that is not a good thing to do. I also believe that the way referrals have typically been taught, which is what I'll call an advisor-centered methodology, where it is about how they get paid or about they're trying to build their business and they, you know, you can use their help. While that can work, it really is not nearly as effective as a client-centered methodology where it's about the relationship, about the value. You know, why does someone give us a referral without asking? Well, because they saw value in the work that we did. And we're not, if we're not referable, then people are not going to give us referrals. So what we want to do is make it all about our referability, all about, again, the relationship, the value. The truth is, Rob, that I've been teaching my system for 17 years to all levels of financial advisors and other folks in the financial services industry. And the truth is you can ask referrals, and you can ask referrals now from wealthy individuals, for high net worth individuals. Some people will give you referrals, some people won't. We'll talk about that as we get into the program. But you can do it in a way that's not going to look needy, it's not going to look begging, you're not going to push people to feel uncomfortable. And some clients will give you referrals when you ask. Some will do it later when they're ready, but you're not going to hurt any relationships. There are so many people out there using my methodologies and using them well with very high-level clients.
I know that you like to make a distinction between referral and introduction. Can you explain that a bit?
Yeah, there's a terminology that used to be used a lot in the financial services industry, referred leads. Referred leads kind of refers to walking away from an appointment with a name and a phone number, and then you go about the business of trying to reach those people. Well, I think those days are pretty much over for a couple of reasons. Number one, do not call regulations, caller ID, all the different ways. It's so hard to reach people. I mean, it's just so darn hard to actually get people to pick up the phone or to return your voicemail or to return your email, that we really need to get introduced. Now, many of the people listening to this program are interested in more wealthy clients, high net worth individuals. And with that group of individuals, the introduction becomes even more important because they're just not going to respond to anybody who contacts them. They get invitations to seminars all the time. They get phone calls all the time. And we need a way to stand out a little bit. And one of the ways we do that is being referred or recommended or introduced by somebody else. So while you and I will use the word referrals for kind of an internal use only, I think that when we're talking to clients, when we're talking to centers of influence, we talk about what we really want, which is an introduction, a connection. We want that referral source of ours putting a good word in for us in some way so that our email to the prospect or our voicemail to the prospect gets returned, where we actually get connected to those people. So we're thinking in terms of connections. That's an introduction.
One of important parts of your book that you mention is that before you can ask for referrals, you have to be referable. And one of the things you focus on is creating a referable environment. And that I mean by first creating an environment where you've provided value. One of the things at Supernova Consulting that we pride ourselves in is creating a great client experience through a great service experience. Could you kind of talk about that and how that sets up the referability or the ability to be introduced?
Yeah, if I had to summarize my system into two phrases or main concepts, it would be more referable and be more proactive. And so what you're talking about here is the first part is be more referable. You know, if you're not referable in the eyes of a client or a center of influence, they're just not going to give you referrals. They may like you, maybe they want to help you, but if they don't really see your value and don't believe that you're going to be helpful to others, then it won't matter. And so now there are a lot of advisors who've done pretty well just by being super referable. You know, the more referable, the better the client experience that you provide, which you guys are so great at teaching with your Supernova program, that you will get more referrals without asking. You will increase your referability, and so you will get more referrals without asking. Now, I do believe that mistake and assumption that many advisors make is if I just serve the heck out of my clients, if I just do that, then the referrals will roll in. You know, if people like my value, they'll tell other people about me. And the truth is, some people will. You know, there are some people there. In fact, the numbers that I've discovered over the years of teaching my system, and obviously it's going to vary a little bit from advisor to advisor and types of clients they have in their practice, et cetera, but roughly 20% of your clients will be giving you referrals without asking. You should be tapping into that by just doing a great job by serving the heck out of your clients and having, like you teach, a model in place that drives your behavior. I think you use the word rituals, having those rituals, those habits that are there. And so that you, at any point in time, you know what the year in the life of a client's going to look like working with you, you know, being proactive versus reactive. So, you know, you do that well, roughly 20% or so of your clients, maybe more in some cases, will give you referrals without asking. And then probably another, 20% or so, give or take, again, depending on the types of clients in your practice, will never give you referrals. You could run into a burning building and save their children. They wouldn't give you referrals because their minds aren't built that way. They're not wired that way. They're super private, or they've had a bad experience in the past or whatever. And then there's the 60%. This is kind of the gold mine that most advisors, experienced advisors, certainly are sitting on that's going untapped. These are the people that will participate in the referral process, as we're going to demonstrate in this program. But not unless you bring it up, not unless you promote referrals, not unless you ask for referrals. Now, I'm not saying everyone's going to give you referrals on the spot when you ask, but they'll have the conversation, and many of those people will give you referrals later when they're ready. So we've got to be referable. We've got to have a model in place. Sometimes I've heard it referred to as a client service promise. This is, you know, in that word promise is the word commitment. I really like that. And here is our client service promise. This is what you can expect from us. And then, of course, we try to deliver even a little bit more than that for a little bit of wow factor from time to time. So if we do that, what happens is we get some referrals without asking. And then when we are proactive, when we do promote referrals or ask for referrals, then we have certainly a much more receptive audience, people willing to have that conversation.
Before we get into some sample conversations and how we're going to do and role play, what I'd like you to do is go through your proprietary VIPS method that has been so successful in helping clients to help their financial advisors.
I think of the referrals that you get as the VIPs of your business. That way you can remember this VIPS method. And the V stands for value discussion, and this is really the cornerstone of a request for referrals. And this, by the way, is something that advisors should be doing even if they're not going to ask for referrals, and that is checking in with their clients, checking in about the meeting, about the process, if it's early in the relationship, about the relationship in general, if it's later in the relationship, making sure that they see value in the process, the meeting, and the relationship, the communication. Harvard Business Review reported a study that said if a client does not rate you as completely satisfied, then they're a candidate to move their business somewhere else. They didn't say mostly satisfied. They said completely satisfied. So in that gap between where they want to be with you and where they are is where loyalty gets created, where referability gets created. And so we need to check in on a regular basis. And I believe that when you take on a new client, you should say, look, one of the things you can expect from me is I'll be checking in from time to time when we get together. I'm going to make sure our communication's where it needs to be, where our relationship where it needs to be. And, you know, I give you permission to complain at any point in time. If anybody drops the ball, you let us know. That the nature of the work that we do, you know, demands that we have, you know, complete candidness, honesty, et cetera, et cetera. So we make it part of how we do business. If you haven't been doing this in the past, then you bring it up and you let them know moving forward, you know, I'm going to check in more often. This is very important. So here's what's going to happen when you check in with the about the process or the meeting or the relationship, and I'll give verbiage about this in a minute. You know, most of the time you're going to hear really good things, especially if you're following the Supernova program, you're going to hear really good things. And people are going to say, wow, I really like the change you guys have made. I really, you know, do like the program you've implemented, et cetera. But every now and then you will find someone with a little bit of discontent about something. And this is important. We got to go fishing for that. We got to make sure that stuff doesn't fester. For instance, I was working with an advisor just a few weeks ago, and he loves the value discussion, does it all the time, gets referrals without even asking from the value discussions, even discovers and sometimes captures assets he didn't even know about just through the value discussion. And I said, have you ever come up with anything negative? He says, oh, yeah, every now and then. I've got a client that's got a little complaint that they haven't brought up before. I had a client the other day who had been working with me for 5 years, and she confessed she didn't really know how to read the statements. And so I helped her go through the statements. So there I had a client who had a little disconnect, a little something that wasn't right, and so we cleaned it up. And he wouldn't never have found out about that if he hadn't have checked in. You know, if you haven't been in the habit of doing this, then there may be a little bit of fear there, you know, maybe a little uncertainty. What if they're not happy? Well, if they're not happy or if there's something not working, then clearly you got to know about it, don't you? Or you end up getting paperwork and realizing they've left without even telling you. So that's the value discussion. It's incredibly important. And it's not a value telling. We don't go in there and tell them all the things that we've done over the month or year or decade that we've been working together. It's a discussion. We want most of it to come from them because that's how they get more in touch with it. The more it comes from them and not us, then the more the value resonates with them, and the more we can get referrals without asking, and we do ask, then they're prepared for that conversation. It's also not a setup. We don't want to say, have you found value in the work we're doing? Yeah, great. Who do you know? That's kind of the old methodology. This is not a setup. This is a discussion in its own right that whether you ask referrals or not, this should be taking place in your practice. And so, you know, like I said, we'll get into what it's going to sound like, what the actual words may be. But that value discussion is so, so important. And so please start doing this, you know, whether you buy into asking for referrals or not, just start doing that. Now, the I stands for treat the request with importance. Why do we treat the request for referrals with importance? Well, because we believe in the work we do. And we come from that place of strength and success and confidence. You see, one of the reasons advisors don't ask referrals is they don't want to look needy or begging. Okay, I understand that. I respect that. So let's make sure we have an approach that isn't needy or begging. And that's what the I is, coming from a place of importance. One simple way to come from a place of importance is to say, you know, I'm glad you see the value in the work we're doing. And because of that, I have an important question to ask you. The words, I have an important question to ask you, you will get their attention. Now, obviously, you got to come with confidence because you got to go to the next step. But now you're coming from a place of strength, confidence, success, and not a place of weakness. It's not, I'm trying to build my business, I could use your help. It's, I'm glad to see the value. I'm glad our relationship is on solid footing. This is important work. You know, I've got an important question to ask you. The P stands for permission to brainstorm. And the permission part is what softens it up. Many advisors don't like to ask referrals because they're afraid of hurting the relationship, of coming on too strong and pushing. Well, this is not a push. This is really, I'd like you to reframe your thinking. This is an opportunity. We are presenting an opportunity to our clients to help other people they care about. That's where we're coming from. That's the place we're coming from. It's a place of strength, knowing the value. And we also know that not everyone likes to give referrals. That's the real world, especially when it comes to financial matters. So we can't push them. We get buy-in to have the conversation. Some people will say yes. Some people say no. We don't fear the rejection. Asking for referrals and not getting them is not failure. Failure is having great relationships with your clients and then not leveraging that to serve more people. Now, the word brainstorm, and you don't have to use the word brainstorm, and you'll see I use different words as we role play this a little bit, but what I mean by that is a collaborative event, right? We're together, we're figuring this out together, which leads us to S, which is suggest names and categories. This is a very important part, and this will reduce or minimize the objections that you get or the resistance you get, is by coming prepared for this conversation. You could have one specific person in mind that you know is in their life. It could be a couple of people that you've identified through other conversation. You can have money in motion categories, you know, people who are changing jobs and selling a business and inheritance and legal settlement and retirement distributions and all that. Whenever money is in motion, you have someone who has heightened awareness to perhaps the need of talking to a financial advisor. So those are great categories to bring as well. And so we come prepared, and we let the client know we've come prepared, not in an arrogant or pushy way, and this will take life as we role play, but we let them know, and what happens, it actually kind of creates curiosity on their part. So again, value discussion, check in, make sure the relationship's on solid footing, treat the request with importance. You don't have to say, I have an important question to ask you, just to be fully present and to be confident in this request and treat it with importance. Get buy-in to have the conversation. It's really a yes or no answer. You know, do you want to move forward? Are you okay with this conversation or not? And then we handle it accordingly. If they don't want to do it, then in most of the cases we'll probably back off. But you know, I want to get a yes or no, because I don't want to plow ahead into a conversation that someone doesn't feel comfortable with. Taking the push away is what really makes this process a little bit different than the way referrals have typically been taught. And then again, we come prepared with some names, categories, etc.
Terrific. Now comes the fun part. Let's do some role-playing.
Sure.
I'll be the client, and you're going to ask me for referrals or introductions. I'm a high-net-worth client, right? And you're going to be asking me for a referral. We've had a relationship now for over a couple years, and things are going pretty well.
And face-to-face usually is best, by the way, for this, particularly early on when you're figuring this out and just getting started, because obviously you can read body language. You also usually have more time on the phone. Unless it's a structured phone appointment, you quite often don't have the time to have this conversation. So in person is usually best, though it can be done over the phone. So, Rob, you'll see the next item on our agenda there is a value check-in, and here's what I mean by this. We've been working together for a couple years now. We've seen some ups, some downs, and in-betweens. And I just give me a sense, let's put the market aside for a minute. Let's put the economy aside for a second. Let's talk about our communication and our relationship that's established in this time frame. First of all, anything not working, any place I or my staff have let you down that I should be aware of?
No, I think things have gone really well. I mean, you know, we'd always like a better environment, but we can't control that. Your communications has been really consistent. I really like the 12-4-2 model where you're calling me every month, and then we have these regular reviews, and everything is scheduled. I feel it's very structured, and I really appreciate that.
Well, good. And obviously, if anything does come up where I or somebody in my staff lets you down or, drops the ball on something, please let me know. As you know, the nature of the work that we do, it's very important that we have good, candid communication all along the way. And it sounds like, based on what you said, that we're on solid ground and I got a happy client. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, and I appreciate the fact that you include my wife in these face-to-face meetings. She's Marcia, and she really appreciates that. You've spent some time keeping her educated on what's going on, so that's a real value for us.
Of course. I mean, you guys are a team in every sense of the word. So, well, I'm glad I got happy clients. I'm glad you see the value of the work we're doing, and because of that, I have an important question to ask you, and I didn't want to ask you that until I knew that we were, where we needed to be in terms of our relationship. I was hoping we could brainstorm a little bit, just put our heads together and see if we can identify a few folks that you think should at least be aware of the work that I do. In fact, I've identified a couple of people in your life that, we've talked about in the past a little bit. I think I could probably be a pretty good resource for them. I just wanted to see if I could run it by you just to see what you think. Would you be open to the conversation?
Sure, sure. Okay. I'm curious.
Yeah. Well, and like I said, we're just brainstorming here. Certainly no pressure. Well, obviously your sister and brother-in-law, you know, you've mentioned them from time to time. I'll tell you, you know, I know they're both working, they're both very busy, they're both successful. And, you know, whenever I hear busy and successful, you know what I think? I think, maybe they're not attending to this in a way they should. Maybe they're trying to do it themselves and really need some, you know, the value of a professional like myself. Or maybe they're just not happy with who they're working with. We don't know for sure. But I guess the bottom line is, how would you feel about introducing me to your sister and brother-in-law?
You know, as a matter of fact, they my sister and I were together at a wedding recently, and I was talking about you, and I'm telling him about the regular communications and, mm-hmm. and how pleased I am as compared to the previous advisor that I had, who I never heard from. And she was saying that she hadn't really heard from her advisor during this whole crazy market. So I think it is probably something that might work.
Good. And what I would like to do is talk a little bit about what that introduction looks like, so you feel comfortable, so they feel comfortable, and then, you know, and I get connected in such a way that they'll at least be open to taking my call and having a little conversation, and, you know, we'll go from there. If they're interested, great, we move forward. If not, I back off. I mean, the last thing I want to do is hurt my relationship with you by hurting your relationship with them by being aggressive. You know, that's not my style. So I do want to learn a little more about them, and we'll talk about that introduction. Can I run the other idea by you real quick?
Sure.
Go ahead. I was thinking a little bit about your ex-business partner, Bob. I get the impression you guys stay in touch, that you know, you broke up amicably in terms of your business relationship, and actually went online and looked at his website, a little bit of his new business. Looks like he's doing pretty well. I don't know. How do you feel about introducing me to him?
Well, we keep in touch. I haven't talked to him about this, but you know, I'm very pleased and I'm not unhappy. You know, I think that would be reasonable to to make the introduction and let him make the decision.
Good, of course. And again, we'll talk about that introduction. Make sure whether you call him or email him or we get together for lunch or whatever it is, we'll make sure it's something that's, you know, comfortable and yet still effective. Gosh, you know, those are a couple ideas I brought to the table today. Is there anybody popping up into your awareness, anybody you think should know about the work I do that you might feel comfortable introducing me to?
Well, my brother keeps complaining about his old college roommate that manages his money, and I don't think that that's where it should be. I'm not sure he's ready to do anything, but he certainly should, because I don't think he certainly hasn't had the returns that we've had and the steadiness and the kind of discipline that we've had. You know, the risk management that you bring to it is different from his guy is really still just a stockbroker.
Gotcha. Well, you know, maybe we can come up with an approach that would he'd at least, you know, be open to a quick conversation initially, and then we can go from there. You know, I know I'm not the right advisor for everybody. We need someone who, you know, we like to work with people who know the value of professional advice and a full, you know, comprehensive approach. So, you know, we'll just have a conversation with him if we can make that happen. Good. So what I'd like to do now is let's go back to your sister and brother-in-law and talk a little bit about that introduction and see if we can make it happen. Then we'll move on to Bob and then perhaps your brother. So we'll stop there for now, because we're going to get into creating the introduction later. But that's the essence of the VIPS. So let me ask the people, you know, listening to this. I got a happy client. I asked referrals. What's the worst thing you could say? Right. The worst thing you could say is, I'm not sure I feel very comfortable with that. That's that. You know, let's maybe we'll wait down the road. That's about the worst thing that's going to happen, right? You're not going to say, oh, you know, give me, you know, I'm transferring my money now because you asked me for referrals. No. You know, sometimes you run into someone and say, look, I appreciate what you're trying to do here, Bill, but I really just don't like to do that sort of thing. I like to keep my stuff pretty private. And then that's fine. And we'll teach people how to back off in a minute. So that's really the worst case scenario. Now, let me add one more thing, and then I'll let you comment too, Rob, I forgot to kind of use this because we'd bandied this about before we got into role play. Had you been introduced to me by, let's say, your friend George, then I would have put that into the context of this request. So I would have said, I'm glad, you know, I got a happy client. I'm glad that our relationship's on solid ground. And, you know, if it wasn't for George introducing you to me a couple years ago, we never would have had a chance to do this, would we? You know, no, you're right. Say, well, Greg, you know, based on that, I got an important question to ask you. So if you were introduced to someone, that's another element of treating it with importance. If they are a referral client, then you certainly want to add that in to the conversation, kind of in the way I did that. You know, if it wasn't for George introducing us, we wouldn't have had a chance to get together in the first place. And I could even add, you know, and Rob, that, as you might imagine, that's the way people like to meet someone like me, right? There's a lot of people out there not happy with who they're working with, but they just haven't been introduced to someone else they can trust yet. So, you know, maybe we can brainstorm a little bit, see if we can identify. So there's so many variations on this. And Rob, in the 17 years I've been teaching this system, I've heard back from so many advisors with the nuances and the adjustments and the way they put their own personality into this that makes it their four-step process. And I've learned a lot from other people. So once you embrace this and you realize you can make it you and make it natural and make it the words you want, just as long as you step on the bases, then you can actually be very effective. It can be you. It can be genuine from you. It's not like you're just memorizing a Bill Cates script. You're taking what I offer and then putting it into your personality, as long as you touch on the four bases.
I really like the brainstorming, putting our heads together. I've always been comfortable in teaching that. It sounds good. It's smooth. The value question is critical. Establishing the rationale of this is about helping our clients to help others. This is not about helping us. Whenever we're teaching, and whenever I'm talking to FAAs, financial advisors, about how to leverage their practice and make themselves more referable, and whenever they're focused, I always say, if you're concerned about it, think about from the client point of view. Always come at it from the client's best interest. And in this case, our best clients want to refer us to their friends and others because they really appreciate the value that we're creating. So it makes all the sense in the world, and your transitions are very smooth and easy and conversational. I almost didn't hear the transition from value to important. I was thinking about what you're saying. I didn't hear the I somehow, I don't know. I guess you did it, but I just missed it. It just was there.
Yeah, I did say I have an important question to ask you. And I said something to the effect of, you know, I'm glad I got a happy client, or I'm glad a relationship's where it needs to be. And because of that, I have an important question to ask you. And
interesting. As a client, I literally just transitioned right into the permission to do a little brainstorming. So it was really, it isn't offensive at all from the client's point of view, at least from my point of view in that role play. So that's great.
We found that by softening it up, by not assuming the person is willing to give referrals, which is the kind of the old school of referral request, by, you know, getting buy-in, saying, you know, can we have the conversation, by softening it up, it actually increases the people who say yes to the conversation, because they see that this is not going to be a big pushy thing. You just run a few ideas. You know, there's no pressure here. And I'll say that. I'll say, look, you know, we're just brainstorming here. No pressure at all. Let's just see if there's some folks out there you care about. We might be able to help. And go from there.
Now we get into the part of the conversation where I really don't teach this, and I'm interested in hearing, because we don't have time. Most cases, in teaching your model, I don't have time to talk about objections. It isn't always the case that it goes well, and so I'm curious as to hear how you handle objections and still keep the flow going. Shall we role play an objection, or would you just like to handle it?
Well, we'll definitely role play it. First of all, when someone doesn't want to give referrals, it's not usually a logical thing. they haven't like sat down and said, okay, I'm not going to give referrals. You know, I just don't do that. It's really emotional because they've had a bad experience in the past, or maybe they're just very private people. And if you serve someone, you serve them well, and they're a happy client, and they don't want to give you referrals, it has nothing to do with you. You can't take it personally. It doesn't mean they don't like you. It doesn't mean that they're going to stop being your client. They just don't want to do the referral thing. And we can't fear the objection, because if you fear the objection, then that'll keep